I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. I am so excited to be here. I'm always excited to be here. I am enjoying my Twitter friends these days. They just keep encouraging me. I'm excited to be a part of this liberty movement. And we have had, these things move in waves and stuff. And we've had a surge of Twitter activity at Chris Ann Hall. And I'm so pleased at hearing the people who are listening to the show. They're sharing the show. Can I just give a shout out to a few of our regulars? Beth Markle, she is so funny. She tweeted this morning, coffee, two pairs of socks, it's 3 degrees here, and rocking at Chris Ann Hall and her podcasts. Awesome. I love this group of people who are listening to our podcasts. And, you know, I appreciate what you do to let me know that you're listening, because you know that it is a lonely thing to be doing podcasts. And I'm just encouraged that we are able to reach people with the truth. And I'm giggling this morning, maybe because it was such a long day flying from New Mexico back to Florida. And, oh my goodness, those days have a tendency to wear me out, so maybe I'm a little giddy. But I am laughing at what I'm reading today. Can someone please explain to me where the media gets their polling information? Who are these people interviewing? They're not interviewing me. Well, I take that back. The Washington Examiner did interview me, but none of my quotes made it to the poll. So, I mean, I don't know. These polls are just cracking me up. So I'm looking at this thing on CBS Miami. Maybe that's what it is, Miami. Q poll. This is the headline. Q poll. Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, an even match in Florida. I don't know. Maybe in Miami. But if you were to poll the rest of the state of Florida, you will get no favor for Jeb Bush whatsoever. So maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe the entire city of Miami is going to vote for Jeb Bush, and then no one else in the state of Florida will just vote for Jeb Bush, and therefore Hillary will catch up and be equal with Jeb because Miami is going to vote for Jeb. It is not happening. There is no way Jeb Bush will even win his own state of Florida. It's not going to happen. He's going to have to be like Alan West and move to Texas. Because people in Florida are not going to vote for Jeb Bush. It is just, where are they getting this stuff? The poll gave 44% to Clinton and 43% to Bush in a hypothetical 2016 presidential race in Florida. I've done that hypothetical on my Facebook. Now, I'm not saying that I poll the entire state of Florida, but in the small percentage that I poll, which is probably akin to the percentage of the people that CBS Miami or the Quinnipiac University poll, you know, how many people does it take to make a poll? I should ask my husband. He had those classes in his psychology classes, taking a poll. How many people does it take to make a poll so that you can come out and make these sort of generalized statements? Because if that's the case, I have polled probably I don't know, 40,000 people across the United States? 40,000 people across the United States have polled. And according to my poll, almost unanimously, no one will vote for Jeb Bush. Now, I get a few, there are a few, that say, I will vote for Jeb if he is the only Republican that makes it through the primary. And at this point in time, I'm fairly certain that the establishment Republicans have picked Jeb. And so it is highly likely, if not probable, that Jeb is going to be the only one that makes it through the primary. So these people are being honest, and I appreciate the honesty in that polling. That's awesome. But they are few and very, very far between. Almost every person who has taken my poll has said overwhelmingly and resoundingly, I will not vote for Jeb. I will vote third party. I will write in a candidate, or I will not vote at all. And so I don't know where you get these things. This is the morning of the ridiculous poll. How many does it take to have a poll? I don't know. Politico says poll shows Floridians want Rubio to run for the Senate. Well, I suppose it's better that he runs for Senate than for president, because I can tell you, according to my poll, Rubio should not run for president. But what is my poll? Because it's not Politico. It's not the Q poll, whatever that is. I've never even heard of that before. And so, oh, here we go. Oh, this is awesome. This Politico tells us how many are in their poll. 625 people. They polled 625 people in the state of Florida and came up with the understanding that Floridians want Marco Rubio to run for Senate. That is awesome. 625 people in Florida, according to Politico, has decided that Marco Rubio should run for president for Senate for the entire state of Florida. There are approximately, according to the census that came out of Florida, there are approximately 16 million people in the state of Florida over the age of 18. And these polls, I'm just trying to show you how these polls work. 625 registered voters polled from January 27th to January 29th. And they come out and say, Floridians overwhelmingly. Look at this language. Now, we talked about a statement that Rush Limbaugh said that Politico is the voice for the establishment Republicans, okay? So this is what I want us to see by looking at these polls. Floridians, the language. Floridians overwhelmingly think Marco Rubio should stick with his current job as senator. Overwhelmingly. Polling 625 people and then stating Floridians overwhelmingly think this. Regardless of how this all works out, I want us to see how these polls are driving the thoughts of how we think and how we vote and how we work. And this is something that we need to understand when we turn off the media. I want us to be free thinkers. I want us to stop being led by the nose. And you see, this is part of this whole propaganda machine. Tell the people who is electable and who is not electable. And that's how our votes are driven, isn't it? Instead of voting for someone based on their principles, based on their voting record, We have to vote for people based on what the polls say because we vote who is electable. And it's about time we engage in some real critical thinking and looking at these things. Ask these questions. How many people were polled? Where were they polled? What was this about? And then look at the language. Overwhelmingly. Because 625 people out of 16 million. That's all I'm saying. You know what? It's how we think. It's how we're led. And it's about time we break free from that kind of thing. You see, we need to become principle-based. We need to understand that we keep electing the same people over and over and over again, and they're going to keep doing the same things over and over again. We reward their errant behavior. I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder what is important to America. Liberty or security? Principles or parties? Truth? Or just simply supporting our favorite politicians? I believe that we're headed in the right direction. I believe that people are wanting the right things. And we just need the courage to stand up and do it. And I think this election in 2016 is going to be just as big as it was in 2014, but maybe from another direction. I think the voice is going to sound different. In 2014, there was a resounding cry, no amnesty. No amnesty. We need to get the government back under control. We need a smaller government. And that was the cry in 2014. It was a cry in 2010 and 2012. But this was the cry in 2014. No amnesty, smaller government. And we elected a Republican House and a Republican Senate. And here we are, doing the same thing over and over again. What are we going to do? We have the power. We are the people.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Let's talk about something really quick. There's a report out that 5.5 million additional work permits were issued by the Obama administration since 2009. In what they're calling a shadow authorization system. Basically, shadow, I don't know what that means. Obama's executive amnesty. Okay? The Obama administration, according to this article on Breitbart in a report that was released yesterday, the Obama administration has been issuing millions of work permits over the limits set by Congress, defying federal law, according to the Center for Immigration Studies. The Center for Immigration Studies finds that from 2009 to 2014, the agency issued 5,461,568 new work permits to immigrants beyond the 1.1 million legal immigrants and 700,000 guest workers admitted to the United States. Wow. We're authorizing more work permits than people are legally entering the United States. Well, that shouldn't be any surprise to us. Why is that called a shadow? Why is that a surprise to us when that was the promise that he made? According to this report, 1.8 million new work permits were issued to aliens with temporary visas who entered under the visa waiver program. 1.2 million had a visa status for which employment is not authorized. Foreign students, independent guests of workers, not authorized. 982,000 new work permits issued to illegal aliens or aliens unqualified for admission. Of these, 957,000 were aliens who crossed the border illegally. 1,200 new work permits were issued to aliens who were denied asylum and were suspected of using fraudulent documents, were stowaways, or refused at a port of entry. Can somebody do the math for me there? How does someone get refused entry at one of our ports and then actually get in? How do you get refused entry and then get in? Because to me, that's not being refused entry. That's saying, we don't want you to come. Will you please not step forward? Oh, okay. Well, you're giving me a choice. I'm going to step forward. How does that work? 1.7 million were issued to aliens whose status was unknown, not recorded, not disclosed by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. No processed application. This is crazy. The director of policy studies for the Center for Immigration Studies says, I was astonished at the huge number of work permits that are being issued by the Obama administration outside the legal immigration system through executive discretion, especially at a time of high unemployment and stagnant wages. Besides the effect on American workers, she says, it encourages and rewards more illegal immigration. Do you know the immigrants that come here legally, because it's not an easy thing to do? They spend lots of money in fees and in filing fees and attorneys, and they study hard for tests, and they pass tests, and they do what they're supposed to do, and they check all the boxes, and they become citizens. Are watching all of these people come into this country with no regard whatsoever and a free pass. That's not fair to them. They're not happy about that. But what about the law? We are making people legal for breaking the law. We are adjusting the laws to fit the criminals. And you know who is really the criminal in this whole picture is the government. You can blame this on Barack Obama all you want, but our Congress knows this, and they keep funding it. Because, you know, they don't want to be the bad guys, right? We can't oppress the lawbreakers. We can't enforce the laws on the lawbreakers. Then we might not get any votes. Some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said, let it burn, let it burn. I'm gonna burn something down if you get in our way.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I want to repeat that. Here is the attitude of our government. We cannot oppress the lawbreakers. We cannot enforce the law. The law that we passed. The law that we made. We cannot enforce the law that we made, because we might not get any votes. That is sick. That is absolutely sick. And if the federal government were a person, and if Congress were subject to the laws that they created, they would face fines, prison, or both for what they're doing with immigration. This illegal immigration, they are knowingly hiring illegal immigrants, knowingly allowing and transporting illegal immigrants to stay in the United States. And that's against the very law they created. Immigration Law 8, U.S. Code 1324 states that it's a crime to either knowingly or recklessly conceal, harbor, or shield from detection, or attempt to conceal, harbor, or shield from detection, transport, or move, or attempt to transport or move, or to even encourage or induce an illegal alien to come, enter, or reside in the United States knowingly or in reckless disregard for the fact that such coming to, entry, or residence or residence is or will be in violation of the law. And that's what this woman is saying. Our government is encouraging and rewarding illegal immigration. And the very law that Congress made makes them criminal for doing so. Do you know it's not only a crime to actually commit these offenses, but it's a crime to even attempt to do so? Anybody found guilty of violating 8 U.S. Code 1324 is subject to fines, prison, or both. But if it can be proven, here's the kicker, it can be proven that this crime has been committed for the purpose of personal gain, the fines go up and the prison sentence can be as much as 10 years for each incident of illegal aliens. Each incident. So Congress is saying we can't do anything about illegal immigration. We know the president is doing this. Okay, if some private think tank can get this information and come up with this report, Congress already knows about it. I'm sorry, Sessions has said he wants to do an investigation. Oh, great, we're going to have another congressional hearing that means nothing at all to determine what we already know and do nothing about it. Are we sick of this yet? Are we done? Are we done? Not only does this violate 8 U.S. Code 1324, but it also violates 8 U.S. Code 1611, which says that you can't give any federal benefits to illegal aliens. The section says, notwithstanding any other provision of law, and except as provided in Section B for medical emergencies. Of this section, an alien who is not a qualified alien is not eligible for any federal public benefit. That the exception in the section is for emergency services. Section 1611 defines a benefit as any grant, contract, loan, professional license, or commercial license provided by any agency of the United States or by appropriate funds of the United States. Did you catch that? Any grant, contract, loan, professional license, or commercial license. We are granting these people permits to work, violating Section 1611 of 8 U.S. Code 8 U.S.C. And that means that our Congress, in funding this, is guilty of federal crimes. When Jeff Sessions does his little congressional hearing on whether the executive branch is violating the law, are they going to indict themselves for funding all of this? You see, because when you aid and abet a crime, you're guilty of the crime itself. If someone were to hire someone to murder another person, so person A hires person B to murder person C. Person B takes the money and murders person C. That means person A is guilty of murdering person C because he paid person B to do it. Congress is paying Immigrations and Customs to hire and allow illegal aliens to live in the United States, paying Immigrations to transport them across the United States, paying Immigration to give them permits to work, paying the federal government to give them benefits for housing, paying the federal government to allow them to be eligible for Social Security because now they're working, right? We would be stealing from them if we gave them work permits and didn't allow them and made them pay for Social Security and didn't allow them to collect. Wouldn't that be theft? Taking money from them for a benefit they can't receive? Congress is funding agencies to engage in illegal activity. They have become principals to that illegal activity, and they are guilty of the illegal activity themselves. So I'm just asking, is Congress, when Jeff Sessions does his congressional hearing to determine whether the Obama administration is acting illegally in immigration, are they going to indict themselves? Are they going to indict every congressman who votes in favor of all of this? Who continues to fund all this? These are the questions that we need to be asking and stop laying blame based on party. Because I got bad news for you. George Bush was doing this before Barack Obama. I lived it. I was a prosecutor who was engaging in the deportation of illegal immigrants who were breaking the law. When there was an illegal immigrant that came into my jurisdiction that broke the law, I gave their name and their contact information to INS, and INS would come over and deport them. But while George Bush was in office, he stopped that. He did. He stopped that. I got a call from ICE and said, "We're not going to be deporting any more of your criminals. We don't have the manpower," is what they said. So don't be blaming Barack Obama for this. George Bush did it too. And so I just want to know, are we going to put liberty over security, principle over party, and the truth, even when it smacks our favorite people in the face? Because that means we have to do some things, right? We can't deport citizens. We can't deport illegal aliens, because that's too much oppression. We can't prosecute people for breaking the law. We can't enforce the laws on lawbreakers, because that's too oppressive. But we can secretly assassinate U.S. citizens without any due process based on a classification that the government has invented outside the law, and that's okay. We can secretly assassinate any U.S. citizen even when there is no evidence, and that's okay. We can't deport lawbreakers, but we can secretly kill people with no evidence whatsoever. That's what the Department of Justice said they could do back in 2012. That's what they said. 2013. In 2013, the Department of Justice printed a white paper that sets out the legal authority for the president to assassinate U.S. citizens without any evidence. All they need to have to do is believe. According to the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice simply has to believe that sometime in the future you might plot against the government, and now they have the right, and that's their words, the right to secretly assassinate you with no due process. There's no probable cause, there's no grand jury, there's no conviction by a jury of your peers. According to the Department of Justice, the Constitution doesn't apply if they determine that you might sometime in the future plot against the government. But it's too oppressive to engage in deportation of people who have broken the law. It's okay to kill them if they're actually citizens and should be classified under the protections of our Constitution and the recognition of those rights. I'll remind you that the Department of Homeland Security says that right-wing extremists are terrorists, people who believe in rejecting federal authority in favor of state or local authority, people who are dedicated to single issues like opposition to abortion or immigration, and I'm sure we can throw Common Core in there now. If the government has the ability to define the enemy, and the uninhibited inclination to define its own citizens as terrorists, tyranny is already established. The unrestrained power of the government must be continually checked against the liberty of the people. It is liberty that's most important asset to any peace-loving people. Those who would trade liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty nor security. And here we are doing both. We are trading liberty for votes with illegal immigrants. And we're trading liberty for our lives in the name of national security. And we don't even know it, because we're watching the polls who tell us to vote for the very people who support these very actions.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, more constitutional problems, more constitutional issues, because we have a government who is more concerned about their votes, more concerned about economics, and more concerned about political polls than truth, liberty, and principle. So here we go. Let's talk about one more thing before we go today. We have Obama threatening to veto the health care repeal bill. Remember, Congress is supposed to be voting this week to repeal Obamacare. Here's the trap we're going to fall in, okay? This is all part of the mechanism to get us to vote for a Republican president so that we can have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. And so the House will probably vote to repeal in some way the health care law. It may even get passed through the Senate, and then Obama will be allowed to veto it, and then the political powers will be able to say, look, we told you we need the House of the President. You've got to give us a Republican president. It doesn't matter if it's Jeb Bush and you don't really like him that much. Amnesty's not a really big deal. And when you look into the details, Common Core is really a non-issue because, you know, it's not that bad. And the schools don't really have to take the curriculum. They can take the books they want. They can turn these things down. And if you give us Jeb Bush for president, then we will definitely make sure that we repeal Obamacare. Now, I want you to know that that's a flat-out lie. They're not going to repeal Obamacare because they'll be worried about losing their votes. And what they'll do is not repeal, they'll replace and give us something that's the same thing under the Republican regime, you know, like Romneycare or something like that, which is the exact same thing that this is. But you see, here's the kicker. The House doesn't have to repeal Obamacare. All they have to do under Article 1, Section 7 is defund it. And if they go through the power of the purse, then they don't need the Senate. And the president can't veto it. So here's the real truth check. If the Republican House really, really wanted to repeal Obamacare, and it was not just a bunch of hot air to drive you to the polls to vote for a Republican president, they would have done it already, or they would realize they could do it now through Article 1, Section 7, if they really, really wanted to do it. But this is how it's going to happen. They're going to pass it, and the president will veto it, and they'll say, look, we need a Republican president. Or they won't pass it and say, look, why would we go through all the trouble of all this debate, this legislation, wasting your tax dollars when we know the president's going to veto it? You just need to give us a Republican president so we can repeal it. That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. We know overwhelmingly that if this were a democracy, it's not, it's a republic. But if it were a democracy, overwhelmingly the majority of the people in this country do not want this Obamacare. And if we were a democracy, it would be repealed. If we were a republic, the overwhelming number of constituencies do not want Obamacare. And it would be defunded under Article 1, Section 7, under the power of the purse, because the House of Representatives would be listening to their people. We are neither. We are a kingdom where those in power do whatever they can to retain their power at the expense of the liberty and the voice of the people. It's up to you to change that. God bless. See you tomorrow.